Do you know the warm progress under the stars? Do you know we exist? Have you forgotten the keys to the kingdom? Have you been born yet, and are you alive?
What's going on, guys, and welcome to another episode of Title Chasers. So this past week, we had the final outcome of the NBA Finals. Yeah. And it was interesting, to say the least. Not where I think Zach thought it was going to go, okay?
Yeah.
Not the way I personally thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
But some punches were pulled and some interesting turn of events took place, what with KD and some other injuries that have plagued the Warriors. And
Clay Thompson.
Yeah. Mm. So, as a result, Kyle Lowry went off. Kawhi Leonard went off.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And the Raptors are now our 2018/19 NBA champions.
Yep.
What are your thoughts, Zach?
Big deal. I'm not impressed.
Really?
No, Kawhi's leaving. The Raptors are going to be the second round exit next year. I'm snoozing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hitting the snooze right now.
Interesting. So you think now that Kawhi led the Raptors to their first title, okay, you think that he's not going to even consider re-signing? You think he's going to leave?
I mean, he'll consider it, but then he's going to be like, wait a minute, do I want to be like the Pistons of 2004 and have a meaningless title? I'm out.
Really? So, now we've talked about this before, and you thought that if Kawhi didn't re-sign, he'd go to the Clippers. Do you still think that's going to happen?
Yep.
No. Why would he go to the Clippers, go to a harder division, you know, have less of a chance of getting to the finals with the Clippers than if he were to stay with the Raptors?
Because the Raptors are trash.
Really?
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Yeah, they're trash.
Because usually you have this whole analysis to go with whatever you say, but this time...
No, Raptors suck.
That's literally it. Okay.
Yeah, they're trash. That's all.
So the Warriors this year, they didn't perform the way they normally do in the finals.
Well, that's because Kevin Durant went down, Klay Thompson went down, Kevin Looney went down, Steph Curry was banged up, Draymond Green was down. So I don't think the Warriors had a fair chance. So I'm not going to... You don't even want me to go there. The Warriors, if they had KD and Klay Thompson and Kevin Looney, oh my God, that team would be fucking smacked.
Mm, yeah. So they needed all of that to go against a garbage team like Toronto?
No, that's what the Toronto Raptors needed to beat the Warriors. They needed all. They needed two of their best three players to go down. They needed their starting. They needed one of their key players, Kevin Looney. And they needed Steph Curry being banged up.
Hmm.
They needed a buzzer beater to beat the 76ers.
Steph Curry was racking up points like crazy most of those games. You're telling me he was banged up?
Yeah. My sources say he was banged up.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's a cold take and a half. Let's be real. Steph Curry had an amazing finals.
Listen here. What's your name? Will? Is it Will?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to repeat?
What, the Raptors?
Yeah.
Depends if Kawhi resigns.
Mm. Yeah. Meaningless title. Meaningless title. Good for the Raptors. I'm glad they finally didn't choke for once.
Not only that, but they prevented the Warriors from getting another title, okay?
Yeah, for now.
They slayed the dragon, so to speak, okay? You don't think that means anything?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What's going to happen is next year, you know?
Especially with some teams in the East starting to degrade, like the Celtics, possibly the 76ers.
Nothing. Nope.
You don't think this means anything for the North?
Nope.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no. Because he doesn't want to, you know, lead a country of pussies, so he's leaving.
Oh.
Go to the Clippers.
Okay, that's it. Yikes, okay.
Didn't mean nothing. Just wait for the Warriors to come back with full strength. They're going to smack them around.
Yeah.
Remember when they lost last time? Remember when the Warriors lost in 2016?
Yeah.
Blew a 3-1 lead. What happened the year after that?
They won.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
So wait, what if KD leaves? You think that changes anything?
They'll go undefeated and win another title.
Oh, Oh, okay. That's interesting.
82-0, 16-0. Don't go 98-0. That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh.
Actually, you know what? They might lose one game against the Lakers, but that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe one. They'll give them one when they're resting all their, you know, five All-Stars. So. Mm.
I say Kawhi re-signs.
Yeah, well, you'll be wrong, like always.
Hmm. Okay. So, yeah, that was that in-depth analysis from Zach. Yep. Hope you all liked it.
Yeah, Toronto's trash, and so is Will. So
yeah.
That's probably why he likes him so much.
Okay.
He can relate to their garbage everything.
Yeah. If you couldn't tell, Zach's sort of the representation of a lot of bandwagon Warriors fans that are just kind
of
pissed off this week.
No. You know
they couldn't win another title.
No.
Been an NBA fan since 2014. Oh.
No. Listen here. What happened? Ask me this. Everyone's counting the Warriors out next year. What happened in Super Bowl 52? Remind me.
The Patriots.
What happened to the Patriots? They lost to who? The Eagles?
Yeah.
Yep. And everyone's like, oh, this is the end of their dynasty. Ah, this is it. The Warriors are
done. That feels like apples and oranges, though. Let's
Oh, really?
Real.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what happened after that Super Bowl? What happened?
The Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Yep, exactly. Now, in 2007, the Spurs won their fourth title since 1999. And everyone's like, oh, is this their last title? 2013, they face the Heat. They lose to the Heat. What happened the year after that? What happened after they lost to the Heat in 2013? Do you remember? Oh, that's right. They came back, faced the Heat, and stomped them in six games.
Interesting.
When Michael Jordan retired to play baseball, what did they say about the Bulls dynasty? Oh, the Bulls dynasty's over. Let's go Rockets. He comes back. They win three more titles. Kobe and Shaq break up. They say Kobe's never going to win another title. What happened? He won two more titles. Shaq won another title. Should I go on, or is my point given? I think my point's given.
Mm.
Don't sleep on the Warriors, boys.
Yeah. I'm not saying the Warriors can't win another title. I think you're counting out the Raptors too easily.
Well, they suck, so.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Lowry's – this is like when Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl in 2011. It was like a miracle year for him.
Mm.
I'm not going to go in depth because I don't have to. He hasn't won another title since, so what does that say?
Well, yeah, but
– No, he's meaningless, just like your takes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, it's pretty much that. Only time will tell, you know, which take ages more promptly.
I'm going with the dynasty on this one. Dynasties are undefeated.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Just like the Warriors in the 2017 playoffs.
Mm.
16-1. That's pretty good, I think.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, the title odds were announced from Sports Illustrated, and they give the Lakers the best odd after the AD trade. After that is Milwaukee and Clippers, 6-1 odds. Houston have 8-1 odds. Your team, Toronto, has the fifth best odds at 10-1. Celtics and Philly are at 12-1. The Warriors are 14-1 odds. I think that's a little ridiculous. And then it goes Denver, OKC, 16-1. The Knicks are 20-1 odds, whatever that might be. Brooklyn, Utah, Portland, 25-1. And then it trickles down from there. Cleveland, Minnesota, Wizards, Heat, Hornets, and Pistons have 200-1 odds. That's not good odds in my opinion.
Hmm.
I want your thoughts on these odds, boyo.
Well, you know, with all the off-season moves the Lakers have been making, I could see why people would get really excited about this, but I don't know if they should have the best odds in this situation. I feel like Milwaukee has a better chance than the Lakers at the moment, you know. With everything that happened last year, I just don't think that after one off-season, the Lakers can just, bam, win another title. So
they did add a top-five player, though, and they got rid of some of their busts that were, you know, wasting space.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would probably put it Milwaukee and then perhaps Golden State.
Hmm.
And then third, I'd put probably Houston.
Oh, where's Toronto in that list, Will?
Fourth, I would put Toronto because gang. And then
because gang.
Five,
because
I'd probably
gang.
Put the Lakers.
Well, because of KD and because of Clay, I won't put the Warriors as the best odds. I will put the Bucks. And then I'd probably put the Raptors. Maybe. Actually, you know what? I'd put the Lakers ahead of the Raptors. The Raptors suck. And then I'd put Golden State. And I'd probably put them at 10-1 odds. Celtics, their odds are slipping by the minute.
Yeah.
76ers, if they can keep Jimmy Butler, maybe. I think the Jazz have moved up. They got Mike Conley. I'd move up to that. The Knicks having 20-1 odds, that's ridiculous. They're not going to get Kyrie. And then from there, I mean, Houston looks like they're about to unravel any minute now.
Yeah.
The Clippers might not get Kawhi. I hope they get Kawhi. They probably will get Kawhi because who wants to live in Toronto? So we'll see about that.
Who wants to make a ton of money, you know, bringing a team titles and, you know, being the hero of a city. Yeah, that sounds like it's garbage, huh?
Yeah, well, he can make the Clippers the household name.
Ugh, man, so much ice today. I can't handle it.
I think you need some water, Will.
Yeah.
So the reason why the Lakers have such high odds is because they acquired Anthony Davis in a trade with the Pelicans. We've talked about this several times on the show. I wanted him to go to the Knicks simply because I wanted RJ to go to the Pelicans so he could team up with Zion. That dream is crushed now, and I got to live with that, just like I have to live with the Raptors winning a title, sadly. So it seems like this is they always talk about after a big trade, they're like, who won the trade? Who do you think wins the trade?
Well, it's, I think, very difficult to say right now. I'm kind of split right down the middle, to be really honest with you. But if I had to pick one so far, it probably would be the Lakers. You know?
Okay.
They picked up AD. Pairing him with LeBron, I think, is going to work very well. And I think it's going to be the start of a rebuild, you know, in L.A. Not only that, but it makes L.A. a more appetizing spot to some of the big free agents there. Kind of a wild idea, but could you imagine if they were to get somebody like KD to sign there?
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe if Kyrie decides to be LeBron's lapdog again, he can go back to L.A. with Anthony Davis.
Well, Will, I want to agree with you, but it pains me to say that it probably won't happen. LeBron's going to be 35. He's aging. Anthony Davis has proven that he can't carry a team to the promised land. The Pelicans, in return, they got the 4th overall pick. They got Josh Hart, Lonzo, and Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram has showed promise. Lonzo can facilitate the ball. Josh Hart is a solid depth player. The number four overall pick will probably be Darius Garland or DeAndre Hunter. We'll get to that later in the show. And then they get 2 first-round picks. And now everyone's saying, like, oh, well, it doesn't mean anything. It's going to be a late rounder. I want you to know that those last picks in the first round don't always turn into busts. I'll give you a few names that went between 20 and 32. Have you ever heard of Jimmy Butler before?
It kind of rings a bell.
He went 30th in 2011. Have you ever heard of Clint Capella? 25th in 2014. Danny Green, he was the last pick in the first round. Darren Collison, Kenneth Faried, Rodney Hood, Kyle Kuzma. Just saying.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you make some really good points, except for the fact that, you know, look at some of the pieces that the Pelicans acquired. You know, you got Lonzo Ball, who, let's be honest, sucks. He's average at best. His dad's a complete asshole, you know? He's, you know, just, he was meant to be this big, big piece in the NBA, and he's garbage, you know? And then you've got some other names, like, you know, you got Brandon Ingram, has struggled with blood clots and some other shit, you know? Not only that, but this is just a team, if you look at their draft picks, they have a lot of promising room in the draft this year. But at the end of the day, it goes without saying, these guys, they lack experience in the NBA. Unlike the Lakers, you know, you have LeBron, arguably one of the best players of all time, you know. Probably not the best, in my opinion, but definitely one of the greats. And then you have Anthony Davis, who has plenty of experience. I think he, coupled with LeBron, He's going to be an amazing addition to the team, you know. I think it's up for the Lakers from now. Maybe the Pelicans can be an eighth seed, a seventh seed, but I think the Lakers win the trade.
You make some good points. But here's where you're wrong. Remember when D'Angelo Russell was with the Lakers? And everyone's like, oh, D'Angelo Russell's the bust. He's the bust. And then he leaves and he thrives. That's what's going to happen with Lonzo. And I think now...
I can't believe that Zach Jameson is saying that about Lonzo Ball. Of all people, you've been the most critical of Lonzo that I know. And now you're saying this.
Yeah, well, I got to go with my argument, man.
Wow.
I got to stick to my guns on this one. Brandon Ingram, he scored 18 points a game last year. That fourth pick could easily turn into a solid point guard. Those two first-round picks, who knows what that could turn into. And then, while I don't love Lonzo, I will give him a chance to not be a complete colossal bust.
Hmm.
I feel like a lot of his hype was because of his dad, but I don't think anybody listens to his dad anymore. I think people know he's a dumbass and doesn't know anything about literally fucking anything. He's just a fucking moron. And now, you know, Lonzo's departed from the big baller brand, and, you know, he's been more isolated. He doesn't really listen to his dad anymore. I think this is a fresh start for Lonzo. We'll see. I don't love Lonzo as a player or really as a person, but I'm going to give him a chance because he's going to team up with arguably the most exciting prospect since LeBron James. I'm going to give him a chance on this one.
That's interesting. I mean, you do have a point. It's a very optimistic future for Lonzo going forward. But still, I think the experience coupled with the talent, you know, I think the Lakers won the trade. And I think going into next year, they definitely have a significantly higher chance to win a title than the Pelicans.
But
therefore, they win the trade.
But the thing is like, they don't have enough cap space to get someone like a Kyrie or a KD or a Kawhi in the sense that, A, they don't have the cap space, and two, they don't want to go there. Kyrie is probably going to go to the Nets or the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, your buddy from Toronto. They have roughly $27 to $32 million in space. And if I'm the Lakers, I don't bother getting a third star. Why? You might as well go for depth at this point. So I think it'd be fun to talk about who they should pick up, who would be a relatively decent price in filling out that roster. We all know they need guards. They just traded two of their guards away. If I'm the Lakers, I go after somebody like a Danny Green or a Rodney Hood, you know? So, I mean, you have $32 million roughly, and that's if AD waives his $4 million trade bonus. I mean, if he's smart, he does that, I think. I think DeMarcus Cousins is another good person. DeMarcus Cousins, I think he wants the max, but I don't think anybody's going to give him the max. He's smart. He goes for another title contender, and he's just, you know, he's a puzzle piece for a championship contender. He proved that in the postseason, he's fucking useless. DeMarcus Cousins is. Now, I don't know if it's just because he didn't fit with the Warriors very well. I think alongside Anthony Davis, he's proven that he can pop.
I mean, honestly, I like the idea of Jimmy Butler going to the Lakers.
Jimmy Butler? He likes L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, he's one of the most likely names out of those in free agency this year because they fit what the Lakers need, as you said. You made a really good point there, but at the same time, you know, there are some negatives with Jimmy Butler. You know, he does seem to kind of have an ego, you know.
Oh, just a tad.
Just a little bit, you know. And do the Lakers need more toxic elements in their locker room?
They already have,
you know?
LeBron. No offense to LeBron. I don't think LeBron's a bad teammate, but he brings
toxicity. Oh, he's an airhead, you know? And do they need a Jimmy Butler coupled with LeBron? Because those are two big egos going at each other, you know? So
that's why, yeah, I don't know if I want Jimmy Butler. I think he should go to the Clippers with, you know, Kyrie and Kawhi. That's where they're going to go.
Now, you mentioned DeMarcus Cousins. That's an interesting name. I mean, I know we've kind of, you know, went after him a couple of times in
DeMarcus Cousins, he's an all-star. He's very talented. The issue with him is he doesn't fit with the Warriors. And it's hard to fit with a dynasty like that, a team that's just so great, arguably one of the best teams of all time in professional sports. So maybe it's hard for somebody who just came off an Achilles injury to fit right in with the greatest team of all time. But I think with the Lakers, I wouldn't be against him going to the Celtics. Now, other people don't agree with me on that one. The thing with DeMarcus Cousins, though, he's going to try to go for a max, and it's going to be the same thing that happened last year. Nobody's going to bite. Nobody wants to give him a max, especially the way he's injured. Kind of seems to destroy locker rooms. Fucking useless in the postseason. He's matched up with AD before. Him and AD are really close. He's in LA, a big market, with LeBron James. LeBron makes everybody around him better. If I'm DeMarcus Cousins, I take a discount. I sign for maybe $10 million 1 year with the Lakers. Compete for another title. Just kind of title hop. And you know what? Maybe next year he can get a max when he doesn't look as useless as he was this year. Or if that doesn't pan out, maybe they go for a Brook Lopez. Maybe they re-sign JaVale McGee. Somebody to go alongside Anthony Davis. I think DeMarcus Cousins is a beautiful fit for the Lakers.
Honestly, yeah. I think I agree with you.
And then maybe get some more defense. Try to go for a Trevor Ariza. I think another good move that nobody seems to be talking about, D. Rose. Derrick Rose. Now, everybody, he's kind of a meme at this point. He's the guy that's always injured. His knees are fucked. But Derrick Rose, he performed pretty well with the Timberwolves this year, I think. I mean, Derrick Rose, 2011, that man was filthy. He was filthy, filthy, filthy. In 51 games with the Timberwolves, he shot 48%, 37% from three. He wasn't terrible. Averaged 18 points a game. A lot better than what he did in 2017. Yeah, I mean, if you can kind of load management him, maybe have him play like 50 or 60 games, I think Derrick Rose would be a good fit. And he would be like league minimum probably. He would be super cheap.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, honestly, showing a lot of promise for the Lakers this year with that. Given everything that happened last year, it's amazing that they can show, you know.
Honestly, it pisses me off a little bit. Does it piss you off?
It kind of does, because, you know, I feel like they're the NBA equivalent to the Yankees, you know.
I agree with that. They're both huge brands. They both get bailed out from free agency. They both don't really need to draft because people just want to go to the Lakers when they're already good.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, look at the Yankees, for example. They just signed Edwin Encarnacion from the Mariners, okay? The Mariners being the Yankees' unofficial farm system, you know? I hate to say it, but look at history. That's the case. And they just picked up another huge bat. I don't even think they needed Encarnacion.
I think they know that, too. Yeah. They know that. They don't need Edwin Encarnacion.
But they did it because, you know, they're successful. They're you know, one of the biggest brands in sports, so they could just throw money at whatever. And with the Lakers, it's kind of the same thing, you know? So it's interesting, but
it pisses me off because you have a team like the Clippers, who has been drafted well. They ousted their awful owner, Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
They have a good coach. They've been drafting well. They're picking up nice pieces. They have a lot of depth.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers, they just snap their fingers. They get Anthony Davis.
Yeah, honestly.
And I mean, like, they didn't give up Kuzma for him. I think the Pelicans did well. I think they got a lot in return. But the Pelicans also lost Anthony Davis. The Lakers just acquired Anthony Davis, and they have cap space. So the Lakers, I thought they were done after Magic resigned. So,
but then you got to remember, oh, wait, this is the Lakers, you know?
The Lakers, and, like, now, like, there's going to be a bandwagon for the Lakers again. LeBron's on the Lakers. AD's
oh, yeah.
on the Lakers.
All those bandwagon Warriors fans are going to go back to L.A.
It's just annoying. I wish a team like – I like watching a team like that crumble because they deserved it because they didn't draft well.
Now, don't count your chickens before they hatch. We got to remember, you know, there are still a lot of negatives with the Lakers. You know, you have the potential of having a toxic locker room, you know. Right now, what happened last year, in my opinion anyway, I don't know what you think about this, but a lot of those players could have performed so much better, but they didn't because the way management made them feel, they just made them feel like they were just pawns to help get LeBron another title. And since they weren't LeBron, they were just easily disposable, and the Lakers could use them as, you know, trade leverage whenever they wanted. You know, that's not a good relationship to have with your players. You know, I don't really think Jeannie Buss is a great owner.
He's a terrible owner.
Yeah. So the Lakers still have a lot of negatives, and that's why I'm not completely sure that they can win a title next year, you know, even with these big names on their coming onto their team. So
I honestly hope they fall flat on their face. I think that in the sports world, it's very easy for people to be reactionary. And I think that's what people want to be.
Yeah.
In the sports world, it's easy. You know, watch when Kyrie signs with the Nets. Are the Nets the favorites now? Oh my God, Kawhi Leonard signed with the Clippers. They're the best team in the world now.
Yeah.
Everyone just reacts. So annoyingly, honestly, it's annoying to see it. It's like, oh my God, they got Anthony Davis. That's good. I'm glad they got Anthony Davis. It makes the league interesting. But at the same time, how do they match up against the other teams? The Rockets are still a viable team. The Clippers are a good team if they get Kawhi, and they could still get Kyrie. Who knows? KD, he's out for this year, but next year, where does he go? He can go anywhere now.
Yeah.
It's just like the way we just react to things so aggressively.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I said, you know, we got to give this trade time between the Pelicans and the Lakers to see how it actually pans out, you know? Because you never know, Lonzo might actually blow up and become an offensive powerhouse. I'm not so sure that it will happen.
He's got to learn to shoot.
Yeah.
That shot does not work, buddy.
But even though he can't shoot, he does pass the ball around well. Yeah. And if you pair him with Zion, you know, that's an interesting,
he kinda reminds me of Rajon,
interesting addition.
Reminds me of Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo can't shoot, but he can pass really well.
Yeah.
I think that's what Lonzo could be.
Yeah.
So. Now, in other NBA free agency news, Kyrie has ghosted the Celtics, has not said anything to them. Horford plans to walk in free agency from the Celtics. A couple other things. Apparently, Jimmy Butler and James Harden have been talking, interested in Jimmy Butler potentially joining the Rockets. And then Kemba Walker potentially giving the Hornets a discount. What are your thoughts on these things?
Well, I guess I'll start with Kyrie. I mean, you know, his relationship is pretty much ruined with the Celtics, not only with the managers, but with the fans, too. The fans don't really like Kyrie anymore, especially after he underperformed last year in the playoffs. You know, you and I are both Celtics fans at heart, so I think that, you know, you can agree on that at least. He has been talking with the Nets. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. Honestly, I think out of all the teams right now, I wanted him to go to the Knicks originally, but with everything that's happened with the lottery, I don't see that happening anymore. I think the Nets are the most likely option for him. If he were to go to the West, maybe he'd go to the Clippers possibly. You know, I think that's the most likely. Not including the Nets, but honestly, I see him going to Brooklyn. And then, you know, with Jimmy Butler going to the Rockets, that one actually kind of interests me, you know?
Yeah. The way it would work, it would be a sign-and-trade for Chris Paul.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
Chris Paul would leave. Chris Paul's contract is disgusting. It's so, he's getting paid like $40 million for the next 4 years. And Chris Paul is like 35 at this point. Terrible contract. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
Trade him for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler would go to the Rockets. Chris Paul would go to the Sixers. I like that. I think that works well.
Now, one thing I noticed about the way the Rockets played in the playoffs is they have really awesome offense. You know, that goes without saying. You got, you know, Harden, who is just a beast. Okay, I loved the way James Harden played last year. However, defensively, they're not that great of a team. And I think that's what costs them against Golden State, you know?
I honestly think them losing Trevor Ariza and P.J. Tucker the year before that That was a big – those were great defensive players for them. When they left, their defense – the minimal defense they had to begin with was gone.
But I feel like in the NBA, no one really cares about defense, you know? Look at all the big stars. They're all offensive powerhouses. But, you know, no one really talks about the defensive guys, you know? And that's what I think Houston needs. They need some defensive guys.
Yeah. So. And, like, for the Celtics, them losing Horford, Horford was a great offensive player and defensive player.
Yeah, he was a really good middleman, you know?
And the fact that he's leaving depresses me a little bit.
So, since he's walking, where do you think he's going to go?
Honestly, I don't know who's interested, who's not. I don't know how the cap space works in this. I would be interested to see Al Horford go to the Bucks.
I was just going to say the same thing.
The Bucks or maybe the Lakers.
Now, that is an interesting one
But he wants a four-year max, so I don't think that happens.
Hmm.
But does Al Horford even get a max?
How much do you think – yeah. How much do you think he's worth, personally?
I think he's worth $18 to $20
million. Yeah.
And he opted out of his 30-year – I don't think he's worth $30 million. I think he's worth $20 million because he can shoot threes. He's a good defender. He's a good locker room presence. But I don't think he's worth $30 million. Hell no. But I don't know. Honestly, I'm a little pissed off at Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge, he has all these assets. He has Kyrie. He has Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, Tatum, Brown. He has all these teams. We're so deep. And yet he's so afraid to make a move. In the NBA, it's been proven that you need to be aggressive. Look at the title. Look who just won. The Raptors. They were aggressive. They're like, all right, we have 1 year with Kawhi. We're going all in. We're going to get him. We're going to get Marc Gasol. If it doesn't work, we're blowing up the team. What happens? They win a title. The Warriors. The Warriors, they just lost in the NBA Finals. Blew a 3-1 lead. Had a 73-9 record. What do? They go out and get Kevin Durant, the best player. They win two titles. And then, after they've won two titles, they see that there's a weakness on their team. They go and get DeMarcus Cousins for $5 million. The aggressive teams in the NBA are the ones that make it on top.
Yeah.
The Celtics, on the other hand, they're so scared to lose their assets. And granted, I think Danny Ainge is a great GM. I'm not trying to diss him as a GM. I respect him as a GM. But what I don't respect is that the Celtics fans in Boston and the whole New England area, they just stroke his cock like as if he's some type of god. He has his faults. He has all these assets. He has three picks in the first round this year. He's got a bunch of picks next year. He's got a lot of talent that could be turned into another star. But what he does is he just hoards and hoards and hoards. He doesn't do anything with these picks. And no matter what he does, he could trade Jason Tatum for a bag of pennies and they would somehow think it's the best move on the planet.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an extreme take. I don't agree with what I just said completely. But you get what I'm saying. Everything Danny Ainge does, everyone just hails Danny Ainge. I don't think Danny Ainge is the best GM in the NBA. I would look at Bob Myers, Masai Ujiri from the Raptors. Those are who I look at before I look at Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge makes a trade every 10 years. Hits every time, but he makes a trade every 10 years. He doesn't do it. He doesn't make any moves. He just signs players. He makes dinky little trades. He doesn't go all in. He's not aggressive as a GM.
Yeah.
And it's proven in the NBA, you need to be aggressive.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No matter what they do, and free agency, the Celtics are going to hail Danny Ainge. They're going to think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. When he's not going to do shit. He's going to lose two of his best players. That Gordon Hayward contract looks like an ugly contract now. $30 million for someone who averaged 5 points in the postseason. It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about the Celtics. I'm going to ruin my day if I do that. Another big move. Mike Conley was traded to the Jazz. I really like that. Matching him up with Donovan Mitchell. Looks like they didn't really lose much in return. Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder. All that jazz.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Unintendedly attended. And then I heard a rumor that Kemba Walker is going to give the Hornets a discount. I already know what your side is on this, so I'm going to let you go first.
I think Kemba re-signs with Charlotte.
Do you think that's the best move that he can do for himself?
Well, it depends on what he wants to do, you know?
What do you think he wants? Clearly he wants to be loyal.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good move for his career?
Honestly, if that's what he wants to do, then he should do it.
everything you just said is wrong. Kemba, if I'm you, I get the fuck out of Charlotte. What have they done for you? Their second best player is Nicholas Batum, and you're going to stay? You're going to stay with them?
Oh, God.
Really? Who have they surrounded him with? They weren't surrounded with anybody.
But look at it this way, Zach. Oh. Everybody in the NBA are all just a bunch of title chasers, okay?
Pun intended.
Pun definitely intended, okay?
But here's the thing, though.
To see someone be loyal to his city, I like that, you know?
Okay. You know who's loyal to their city and I respect? Damian Lillard. And why does he respect his team? Because his team is successful. Yeah, they haven't won a title, but he's next to CJ McCollum, and he's the third seed every year. I get why he's loyal, because they're this close. They're an inch away from winning something.
They're one or two players away from being a really good team.
But the thing is the Hornets aren't, though.
Yeah.
He's been with them for 8 years. They've made the playoffs twice, and they were first-round exits. And not only that, who has been on his team? Who's the second player?
Yeah.
And who pays attention to the Hornets? Nobody. Because the Hornets suck. If I'm Kemba Walker, I get being loyal. Be loyal with winners. And now, I argue with a buddy of mine. They're like, oh, but he has Michael Jordan as his owner. What the fuck does that mean? Who cares? On their team, the second best player is Michael Gilchrist. Bismack Biyombo. 86-year-old Tony Parker. That's not going to cut it. And that's why they were the 10th seed this year. Because they don't know what they're doing.
Hmm.
They're going to say, oh, we're going to make you a winner. How? Getting Nicholas Batum?
Hmm.
Getting Cody Zeller? God damn. Kemba, leave. Go to the Knicks. You have a better shot with the Knicks. At least people are interested in the Knicks.
Yeah.
And even in Charlotte, no one cares about the Hornets. Nobody cares about the Hornets, even in Charlotte. So just leave. Just go away from Charlotte. I get that they drafted you, and I respect you that you want to be loyal, but don't be loyal with the Hornets. And you know what?
I mean, I know what you're saying, Zach, but, you know, unfortunately for your take, he's going to re-sign.
And that's his own mistake. That's why he's not going to...
He has a good relationship with the owners of Charlotte, you know.
And that's great. Good for him. But he's going to make a wrong career choice. He's going to be stuck with the Hornets for his entire career. He's never going to make the playoffs. He's never going to have a legacy. He's never going to be anything. If he leaves, he's a top five point guard. But he stays with them, nobody pays attention to him because nobody pays attention to duds. And that's what the Hornets are. They're a giant dud.
Interesting.
The Hornets are pathetic. If I'm him, I get out of there. Hmm. I'd leave the Hornets, say, good riddance, you guys have wasted my career, just like what Anthony Davis did. Anthony Davis had the right idea. Hey, listen, I've been here for 7 years. You guys have done nothing for me. I'm leaving. This is my legacy. I control my destiny. Good riddance. He was loyal. He resigned with them once, and then he realized, wait a minute, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change because nobody wants to go to New Orleans. Nobody wants to go to Charlotte either, buddy. You can see their big off-season splash was signing Cody Zeller. Get out of there, man. I get that you're trying to be loyal, but you're being loyal to the wrong team.
Aw.
Now, LeBron, you know, the first 7 years with the Cavs, it's the same thing. They didn't do anything for him. The second best player was Mo Williams, Žrūdis Algauskas, Anderson Varejão. And then he leaves. He goes to the Heat. They surround him with his boys. Comes back. He gets Kyrie and Kevin Love. And everything's good again with LeBron. He needs to get out of Charlotte. End of story. I get your stance, but hell no. If I'm him, I get out of there. ASAP.
Hmm. Interesting.
Speaking of disappointing, the NBA draft is tonight. And it looks like there's going to be a couple busts on our slate. So.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
You guys have already heard my take by now of John Morant. I'm calling bust on John Morant. Nobody else is calling it. Here's the issue with the draft. Every year, every player looks like they're going to be a star. Nobody talks about who is going to flame out. I had the take last week about who's going to be the bust. and I think it's going to be John Morant. And I see it more and more every day. Outside of just basketball, John Morant's got about as much personality as a fucking stick. He's got no personality. Man's so dull. I watched his thing about, you name that 90s thing, he's like, I don't know, I just play basketball. And it's like, dude, you have about as much personality as a sponge. Jesus Christ.
Yikes.
So in the NBA draft, we already know the top three picks are going to be Zion, John Morant, and RJ Barrett. I already told you how the Grizzlies always pick wrong, and they're going to do that again tonight. They're going to pick the Grizzly. They're going to pick John Morant. John Morant's going to be the bust out of those three players. And when I say bust, I want to clarify what I mean by bust. Bust does not mean he'll be out of the league in 2 years. Bust means he's not going to live up to expectations. He's not going to be an all-star, and he's most likely not going to have a better career than the person next to him, RJ and Zion. Sorry, I'm still taking a breather from Kemba.
Yeah, no, honestly, I think I agree with you, you know. Out of the top three, he looks like the one to perform the least. But, you know.
He's a late bloomer. He has knee problems. He was in a minimal college school. Went to Murray State. Nobody flames out him. Nobody succeeds in Murray State. He's a late bloomer. He was like a, I think he was, I don't even think he was scouted in high school. Nobody cared about him in high school. He went to Murray State. He popped. And I appreciate him. I respect his work ethic. But when it comes to the NBA, you want to go with bona fide studs. RJ Barrett was projected number one last year before Zion came onto the scene. RJ and Zion are legit. They went to Duke. They've been scouted their whole lives, and they've been bona fide stars. So I can see those two popping. Zion has unreal potential. He could potentially be the best player in the league. RJ is surrounded by NBA Hall of Famers chirping in his ear. His godfather, Steve Nash. So I can see Zion and RJ popping. Plus, they're just fantastic.
What I'd like to see is the Pelicans try and make some kind of trade or deal for RJ Barrett. That would be so cool. You have two of the Duke boys on one team, you know. That would be amazing, you know. That'd be so good for the league, too. You know how popular that would be?
Oh, my God, they'd love it. Jersey sales, crazy.
Yeah. So.
They would be title contenders.
Yep.
Now, after pick three, it gets a lot more blurry on who goes where. It seems as though Darius Garland will be number four. I like Darius Garland. He's a good point guard. It looks like the Pelicans might trade that pick for a serviceable player. If I'm the Pelicans, I know that there's interest from the Celtics, the Timberwolves. Let's be real. The Celtics aren't going to trade for him. They have to give up literally one asset, and that's too much for them. So I'm going to count out the Celtics now because the Celtics would have to make a move. And if the Celtics are going to make a move, I have a very low expectation that they'll actually do that. I'm a little pissed off at Danny Ainge. So I think Darius Garland, I'm not really sure where he'll end up. It seems like the Pelicans will probably move that pick. I'd like to see him go maybe to the Cavs, Darius Garland. I really like DeAndre Hunter. He seems like he's one of those players that isn't great at one skill, but he's good at all skill. Like he doesn't have one skill that's out that is like his big trait, but he's good at everything.
Yeah.
So as you improve as a player, you can strengthen all those skills, then you're a star.
Now, I have a take, all right, a bit of a prediction for tonight. I might fall flat on my face, but I think DeAndre Hunter goes to number four.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think he's a promising player, you know. Came out of Virginia, and I would love to see him a lot earlier than some of these mock drafts have him. So I'm looking at this one mock draft from Bleacher Report. They have him at number seven, you know.
DeAndre Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh. That'd be a miracle for the Bulls.
It would be. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing him going to Chicago, but I just don't think he should be picked that late. I feel like he's a better talent. I want to see him at number four, so I think that's where I'm going to put my coins tonight.
Yeah, I want DeAndre Hunter I wouldn't mind seeing him on the Pelicans. I think he matches well with Zion, too.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing him in Cleveland. I don't love Cleveland, but I do like, you know, I think that'd be a good fit with Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton was good last year. Darius Garland's either going to go 4 or 5. There's no way he's going to slip to number 6. I don't think the Suns are going to get him anyways. Some of the other people, Kobe White, Jackson Hayes. Nothing crazy. I think Jackson Hayes is going to be maybe a rotation player. I don't think Jackson Hayes is going to blow up. Same thing with Jarrett Culver. I'm not in love with Jarrett Culver.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few people that I can see as busts. And I'm going to just name them now. I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong. Sakul Dombaya. He's from France. There's a good chance he's going to go to the Timberwolves, and that makes perfect sense. They call him a project pick. It seems like he has potential, but it's just a lot of things he's got to work on. I don't see that happening. Roy Hachimura. Too many holes in his game. Don't like it. Nasir Little, inconsistency. I don't think so. John Morant, I've mentioned before. I worry about Bulbul. Now, Bulbul, he's been everywhere. He's been a lottery pick. He's been a mid-first-round pick. Some people are saying he's going as low as 46. But he's 7'1". He can shoot threes. He's a monster. I like Bulbul. He's a little too skinny for me. If he can bulk up, he could be pretty good. He's the son of Manute Bol. He played back in the 80s. The issue with Bulbul is that he's injured. Those knees are already acting up on him. I don't like the sound of that. But those are some of my Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish was overhyped at Duke, and I think it's going to play into his NBA career. So I don't think Cam Reddish is going to be very much. He's going to be a bench player. I don't think he's going to flame out, but I just don't see him being fantastic. Those other people I mentioned, Sakul Dombaya, out of the league in 5 years. Roy Hachimura, out in 4 years. The Celtics, I feel like if the Celtics are smart, they go after Kevin Porter Jr. I like Kevin Porter Jr. a lot.
Yeah, now see, a lot of the mock drafts I'm looking at, I'm still looking at this Bleacher Report one. They have him going to the Thunder, 21 overall.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen. Let's be real. I'd like to see him go to Boston, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to see Kevin Porter Jr. Yeah. I don't know why he's slipping so far. I don't know if he's done some fuck shit or something. Like,
yeah, I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you.
I like what he's doing, though. See, in this mock draft, it looks like...
Oh, he was suspended, according to this article. Not really sure why, but...
That explains it. Yeah, it looks like lock it up. Sakul Dombaya is going to go to the Timberwolves. Timberwolves are going to pick a bust. Let's just be real. It's just not even...
Yeah. Enough said.
Enough said, yep. So the draft's going to be interesting tonight. We'll definitely touch upon it next week when all the picks are in, who we think wins, who we think loses. I predict that the Pelicans are going to trade the 4th pick, probably for...
I honestly hope that doesn't happen. I want to see them pick both the 1st and 4th. That'd be interesting, I
feel
like.
If they get Zion and DeAndre Hunter, ooh, that's going to be nice.
Dude.
Or there's rumor that now there's some speculation that the 3rd pick might be Darius Garland. Oh, my God. If that happens, if the Knicks screw it up, oh, and that's something the Knicks would do. That would be interesting. I'd love that, honestly.
Yeah.
So I want to shift to baseball now. The Red Sox seem to be on a roll. They've won 10 of their last 16 games. And they won last night, a long-ass game against the Twins. I didn't watch all the game, but they won in... I want to say it was 17 innings. Oh, my God. That was Tuesday night, but regardless, my God. This would be a really interesting postseason matchup, I think. I can see this being a divisional round matchup.
Yeah, honestly. And also, one thing I just want to mention, Rodriguez pitched last night, and he went off. He struck out 9, okay? Oof. Nobody talks about him, I feel like, but he's just amazing. I love E-Rod. I feel like he's a really underrated player.
Oh, he's a stud. He's a total stud.
every game that you and I have gone to, it's ended up being E-Rod as the starting pitcher at Fenway Park. I don't know how that keeps happening, but I don't know. I hope I get to see Chris Sale pitch next game, because Chris Sale's not been having a bad season either, in my opinion. He's got a high ERA. He's struggled, but he's getting consistent games with 10-plus strikeouts. A lot of those games, see, ends up losing, but that's just because of weak offense, in my opinion. So.
Oh, yeah. Now, in the National League, I hate to report this to you boys, the Phillies are four games back now.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
They're three for their last 10 games, and it hasn't been close. Their run differential is now officially zero. And it looks like they've hit in rock bottom. Not quite Mets rock bottom, but rock bottom for what the Phillies are. They're only five games above 500. The Mets, they've peaked at four games below 500. And the Braves have been on fire. Eight for the last 10 games. The Braves are going to run away with the East, I think.
Really?
They got Keuchel. And I hate to say this because I like the Phillies a lot. But Bryce Harper, my boy. You got to do better.
This is why I love baseball, dude. You just never know what's going to happen, you know?
It's so sad. I don't want to see the Phillies lose.
Yeah.
The Phillies are my boys. I've been a fan of them since 2019.
Oh, wow.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I go way back with the Phillies. We go all the way back to 2008. Ryan Howard, Brad Lidge, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee. Oh.
You know, back when they could actually win titles and form. Well, but now they're like, stuck with people like, you know, Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah, the player of a generation. Do we really need to have this talk every week?
Oh, what's that? Oh, yeah, 243 batting average.
Oh, what's that, Will?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, what's that? Snore. 35 and 39 Mets, 8.5 games back. Oh, yeah, they're going to win the East, all right. Fucking clown.
Yeah.
And then, oh, you know, they have the Cubs and the Brewers. They're in a deadlock NL Central battle. The Cardinals aren't too far behind. Reds and Pirates aren't shit, so we're never going to talk about them. The Dodgers are running away with the West 10-game lead already.
One thing I'd like to mention, too. At the time of this being recorded, the Dodgers are the first team this year to hit 50 wins.
Yep.
So my take is they're going to the World Series. I think I said that last week or the week before. But
do you
think
they actually win this time?
I'd like to see it happen because I hate to see them keep losing. Okay,
imagine if they made
that going to the World Series and losing every time. Save that for the Rangers. Okay, save that for other mediocre teams that have sparked up and then quickly died. You know,
out in the AL West, the Astros are running away with it to no surprise. Oh, the poor Mariners. Poor Mariners.
Speaking of the Mariners. They traded Edwin Encarnacion to the Yankees.
Yep.
I want to know your thoughts on that trade.
Ugh, Yankees. Yankees.
It's such a useless trade. They need pitchers, not offense, you know?
Well, I mean, the Yankees have won five straight. They do have a plus 89 run differential. And they're getting Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton back. So that offense is going to be to die for. And they're already 6.5 games ahead of your beloved Red Sox. So,
yeah, too bad they're going to lose against Houston.
Yeah, I mean,
let's be real. The Yankees, their offense is amazing, but if you can keep their balls from leaving the park, then, you know, what do you got? What do you got? If you stack them up against good pitching, which Houston, they have Justin Verlander. On top of that, they have a really good bullpen, you know?
Yeah.
That and they have very versatile players, too, you know. Jose Altuve is one of my favorite position players outside of Boston. So
I really do. I like the Yankees lineup. But when you get into the postseason, that's not always consistent.
Yeah.
If you're spitting gems like Verlander does consistently, it's going to be real interesting. I think the Yankees might pick someone up at the deadline. But, I mean, they stomped the Rays last game. They took... Oh, my God, they swept the Rays. Whew. That's a good team to sweep.
Yeah.
And they're going to face the Astros tonight. It's going to be Valdez versus Green. I think Valdez are going to win that. So they're not going to win tonight, but I don't know. Honestly, it looks like baseball's heating up right now. It's the only thing that's on now, so it's kind of hard to miss it now.
Yeah.
Looks like the Yankees are running away with this AL East, but we'll see. Granted, baseball's crazy. I mean, last week I was toting how the Phillies were at the top, and now they're in the wild card spot. Mm. But that's because of McCutchen. That's because McCutchen's gone.
Yeah, I mean, who else is going to carry their offense? You know, that one guy that's hitting 240, what is it, 246, 243, something like that. Mm. I don't know. It's all interesting, but.
Yeah, all I know is the Mets suck, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Bryce Harper's betting 243. Well, I don't care. The Phillies are still going to be better than the Mets, so I still get my tasty burger.
No, no, that wasn't the. Wait a minute. What was it?
You don't even remember the bet. You're just changing it now, you little fuck.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was whoever has the better record, right?
And guess who has the better record? William. That's right. It's the Phillies now. Yeah. But yeah, the Braves are probably the Braves are looking really good. So let's see how it is next week when we do another recap of baseball and the Phillies are 10 games ahead because, you know, somehow. But I think that concludes our episode today. Next week, it will be William's birthday. So we're going to have a special episode. What we do, we don't know yet, but leave some comments down below, and maybe we'll do something fun for old Billy. He's going to be number 19.
Oh.
So we'll see you guys next week. Check us out on Spotify. You know where to find us if you're listening. And have yourselves a great day.
Peace.